In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So there's a song that I bet many of you learned in Sunday school, directly based off this parable of the 10 virgins. How many of you remember the song, "Give me oil in my lamp"? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. So the funny thing is, a lot of times Sunday school songs aren't too deep, right? We don't expect them to teach everything in a scripture lesson. But this one is really good. It gives you, in a very simple way, it gives you the two specific things that come out of our parable. Now, this song is a prayer, like a lot of songs are. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray, right? But it prays for the two things that we absolutely need to understand from this parable. One is, keep me burning. The problem is, of course, that we get tired of waiting. So we need to ask God to help us. Keep me burning when we're getting tired of waiting for Him to act. And the other thing we pray for is that God Himself would give us the oil. And that is absolutely crucial. We recognize that the oil must come from outside of us. And that oil, of course, is faith. So it's a pretty good song to remember. It's going to help you out here this morning. So let's start with this part. Keep me burning. Keep me burning, Lord. Well, why do we need to pray that God would keep us burning? See, the problem is we don't like waiting. And that's not like something that's only you. That's every single person anywhere in the world. We all hate to wait. And so we get tired of waiting. And of course, what happens, especially when it's waiting for Christ to come, that lamp starts to burn down. Now, nobody likes waiting, but when is waiting especially annoying? Waiting is especially bad when you don't know how long you're actually going to have to wait. That's when it just really wears on you. Right? So let's say that somebody's coming at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Well, that's not a big deal. You know how long you're going to wait. But let's say you have a doctor appointment at 2 o'clock and they put you in one of those little rooms and you don't know when the doctor's actually going to come in. Now, that's when you get really annoyed, don't you? You didn't mind waiting till 2 o'clock for the appointment. But when you're sitting in there, you hear people walking past, wondering, when is that doctor going to come in? That's when we get annoyed. And of course, that's where we are with Christ. It's especially troubling for us because we don't know when He is going to come. So that's what happens in this parable. 10 virgins are waiting for the groom to show up. That's the way they would do it. Of course, they'd wait there for the groom to come to the bride's house and they'd all go into the wedding together. But they don't know how long it's going to be. This is the whole problem. So 5 of them are wise. They bring enough oil to last. Hey, if this guy decides not to come until midnight, I'm going to make sure I got enough oil. But 5 of them are foolish, and they say, oh, he's not going to take that long. It's not that big of a deal, so they don't bring enough oil. When the groom finally shows up, 5 of them aren't ready because it took till midnight, so they got to go get more oil while the 5 wise go right into the wedding. Now, what is the point of this for you? The whole point is that you and I are waiting. We are waiting for our groom, Jesus Christ, our Savior, to come and take us into the wedding feast. He will come. The problem is, we're not sure of the day or the hour. And so what inevitably happens for you and I as Christians? We get tired of waiting. And our lamps, which at different times may have burned really brightly, they slowly begin to dim, and in some cases, they even go out. Now, what I'm talking about here is when I say we get tired of waiting, we get tired of waiting for God to act in the world the way we want Him to. So we see the wars that go on and on, the racism that runs rampant, the poverty that's an epidemic in different parts of the world, the starvation, the abandonment of children, the drugs that destroy people and their families, the divorce that breaks apart our families, diseases like cancer and ALS, all these things. And we're tired of waiting. Say, Lord, it's enough. We're tired of it all. When will you come? And those are the thoughts of those 5 foolish virgins. They got tired of waiting. You know, go back to that doctor's office room where you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. What finally solves the problem of your waiting? The doctor comes in, right? And all of a sudden, everything is well again. And you almost forget that you were even annoyed because here, the doctor's here. And so it is with us. Jesus will come. And when He comes, everything will be made right, just like that. The problem is only the waiting. So what is it then to be a wise virgin as we're waiting? What it is to be wise is to trust His word, to trust that He will come, and to keep our lamps burning, knowing that it could be any day and any hour. The book of Proverbs tells us what it means to be wise. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So being wise as we wait simply starts by fearing the Lord and trusting His word that He will do what He has promised to do. Watch, Jesus says. And that one single moment is all it's going to take where Jesus will make everything right. Wars will cease, racism will be gone, poverty will never be known again, and everyone's body will be raised perfect. No diseases, no weaknesses, everything. In just a moment, like you sitting in that doctor's office and the handle turns, in just one moment, Jesus will make everything right again. And so we wait. Not as foolish ones who decide to forget about it, but as wise ones with our lamps burning bright. Keep me burning. That's a perfect way to say it. We pray that God would keep stoking the fire, keep throwing more wood, because we want to be burning. We want others to see our light and also be ready for His coming. Now, to keep burning then, what do you need? You need oil. Now, because of modern electricity, of course, we don't even think about this anymore. We hardly use oil lamps at all. I would take a guess that many of the kids in here have never used an oil lamp in their life. And I can say that pretty confidently because the only time I've ever used an oil lamp is when we would occasionally go camping and we had a kerosene lantern, and that's it. So I don't know if any of you can remember times where we used oil lamps, but as it happens, here in church we happen to have the perfect example of this. So if you're a kid and you have no idea what an oil lamp is, I'm going to show you exactly. These are all oil lamps. So here, pull this off, is the wick, soaks up the oil, and burns all our candles. This Paschal candle is run by oil as well as all those candles up there. So if you ever want to know what an oil lamp is, you just have to act like, right? But the whole deal with this, having these oil lamps, is you've got to have enough oil. So what do? We go to church supply store and get this, right? A 2.5 gallon jug of oil, and we have two of these. Perfect, right? So we make sure that we are never going to run out of this stuff. And actually, the interesting thing is, this is where the whole eternal flame comes from, if you've ever wondered about that. The idea of always keeping the lamp burning for Christ to come again, and that never goes out except when the bulb goes out. That is not an oil lamp, because at some point Christians got tired of filling up the oil, so they went to electric. So occasionally it does go out. Unfortunately, we have to change the light bulb. But at any rate, we're talking about oil, okay? When these candles here run out of oil, what do? We go buy more, right? It's that simple. If you want oil to keep a lamp burning, you have to go get it from somewhere, all right? And that's what Jesus wants us to realize here. He wants us to have a big jug of oil that will never, ever run out. And what is the oil in this case? Faith. But here's where Christians often make a huge mistake. Faith is something given to you by God. It comes from outside of yourself. And that's why in the song I said it gets it so right. Give me oil in my lamp. We pray that God would give us that oil, that faith that we need to keep burning. Right? It's outside of you that faith is. Right? And this is so absolutely crucial because so often when we feel like our lamps are burning low, what do? We try to conjure up something inside of us. But you're not going to find anything. That's the whole problem. You've run out of oil. So what we need to do is go to the place where God gives faith. So often when we're wishing we had more faith, when we're wishing we had a stronger faith, wishing we had a faith that wouldn't be full of doubts, wishing we had a faith that would keep us from doing stupid, foolish things all the time, well, go to where God gives faith. Faith comes from hearing God's word. You bring your oil jug, your heart, to God, and you say, "Give me oil in my lamp." Right? And that's what His word does. Now, let me ask you a question this way. Can you imagine a whole day ever where you wouldn't turn on a single light anywhere? I mean, that is so far from our imagination. We would never, ever do, we never have a day where we didn't flip a switch or pull a string or push a button to turn on the light. And yet, when we are not hearing God's word every day, that's exactly what we're doing. We are not getting any light. Our lamps are not being filled with oil and we are not burning. And this is why every day we want to make sure that we are being filled with the oil of God's word. Just like the sacrament is vital to our faith. It's vital to our lamp. Because here's the oil of forgiveness, of Jesus' own body and blood, which fills us and keeps our lamps burning brightly. The whole point, again, just to be clear, the one point I definitely hope you would take away is that the oil must come from God. It comes from outside of you. It is a gift that He wants you to have. To be foolish, then, would be the flip side, is to think that we can skip church, skip Bible study, skip devotions at home, skip prayer, and still keep our lamps burning. That would be like thinking the elders and I will never ever fill these lamps up again with oil and they'll just magically keep burning. It's not going to happen. To close today, Paul in the epistle and Jesus in the gospel both leave you with these final therefore sentences. Okay, from everything you have heard today in God's word, therefore, Paul says, encourage one another. Encourage one another and build one another up. These times are hard. It gets hard to wait. We see all the struggles that people are going through. We see the struggles in the world, and we get tired of waiting. So encourage one another. Fill each other up with that oil of God's word, that faith. And Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch diligently, right? He is coming, and He wants you to know that. And when He comes in a moment, all will be made well. Until then, we, with lamps full of the oil of faith, will wait patiently and with great joy for that day when He will come and bring us to the wedding feast. In Jesus' name, amen. And peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.